We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the RotoWire Soccer DFS Show. We are here to discuss Saturday's UCL Champions League final between heavy favorites Manchester City and our plucky Serie A underdogs Inter Milan. My name is Jack Burkhart. You can find me on Twitter at Jack Burkhart. And I am joined by, unfortunately, our now former King of the Pitch champion, but still all-around great guy, great player, Ryan Belongi. Ryan, how are you doing today?
Yeah, I'm doing good. Thanks. Would have been doing better if we did a little better in the King of the Pitch, but at least we have some soccer going on this weekend. Nice contest. But yeah, I'm doing good overall. I mean, disappointing King of the Pitch. You know, we were talking before. I know you were disappointed too, but sometimes that's the way it goes.
Yeah, sometimes you make some great plays and then it doesn't matter because Moneyball takes seven of the top 12 spots. I mean, legendary live final performance for him. I mean, good for him. You know, he's a regular, but also screw him. But
right. I mean, I can't even believe how much money he must have made. Definitely over 250,000, maybe a lot more than that if he played a bunch of smaller field stuff, high stakes that we don't even track. But just insane, you know, all you really needed was Alexander Arnold and Poro, that combination, and pretty much won you everything. And yeah, I got greedy playing a bunch of Tsimikas, trying to save money with some Matt Target. I mean, just, you know. Yeah, you know, I go the whole year, my whole life, playing the best defenders and then the biggest contest of the year, get greedy and fade Alexander-Arnold, try to jam in a bunch of goal scorers. I don't know. It's just
– yeah, you try to
– lucky. Arsenal, I had a ton of Arsenal. I see somebody saying Arsenal stack. I got fortunate that my one decent lineup got eighth place to eke out a small profit. But, I mean, yeah, it was almost a complete disaster.
Well, it was fun for me to be in the contest. I was looking up from 172nd, but it was a tough contest for a lot of people. You had to play TAA and Poro. And look, I mean, yeah, it just doesn't work out.
Jack,
right?
The first King of the Pitch I ever played in, I had one ticket and I was so excited. And I faded KDB, who was like 40%. And he scored like 45 points or something. And I think I finished like close to last or something. But so, yeah, sometimes it goes that way.
Yeah, you know, it was fun to be there. You know, took a rip, tried to get some low-owned plays in there, you know, Odegaard and Rashford. And, you know, maybe I thought I could make 10K or more. And, you know, I got my $600 min cash. It's nice for me, I guess.
You picked, like, two of the only guys who didn't score.
Yeah, I mean, how tilting to play Arsenal and they score five goals and Odegaard gets, like, seven floor points. Rashford even had, like, eight floor points. I was like, oh.
Yep. And, you know, Bruno scored for Man U, Sancho scored, you know, obviously Kane and everybody else, everybody on Liverpool scored, everybody on Arsenal scored. Yeah, except your guys, you know.
Yeah, everyone. Yeah. It was such a great start, too, because Kane scored early. I'm in the car with my wife. We're like, Kane, yeah, let's go. And then I see he's like 40% because he got steamed.
Unbelievable. Yeah, I was wrong about that Kane ownership, too.
Whatever. Well, you know, no sense in crying over spilled milk. We are here. We got some great contests. I think there's 20K up top with a 100K purse, 4,500 entrance for the main flagship GPP, $25 entry. I've been collecting some tickets for that, so that should be very exciting. But let's actually talk about this Champions League final we have. It's unfortunately a showdown involving Manchester City, which isn't really that fun from a DFS point of view, but we'll try to crack the code and see if there's any angles. Manchester City are about minus 200 favorites. That's 65% to win. Their clean sheet odds seem a little bit high, but I guess it's a cup final, so that kind of those get bumped up a little bit at 43%. I believe that's clean sheets through regular time, but you have to read the fine print. An implied goal total of 2. It's basically projected for, on a neutral field, Manchester City domination. And Ryan, I was wondering what you thought about these odds, because I thought maybe Inter are a little bit better than this. I mean, you know, these aren't huge discrepancies, but I thought Inter might be like, you know, 20% to win, and that 5% does make a little bit of a difference. I think these 42% clean sheet odds are rich. I know this is a really liquid market, but I just have my doubts. So what do you think about the odds, Ryan?
Well, I don't know. Maybe we disagree just a little bit. I don't know. Like, to me, it just feels like City are about 50% to keep a clean sheet in this spot. I mean, City's just, yeah, they dominate everyone. You watch the game and they're going to have all the possession. At least this is what I think. I guess I've given plenty of teams this season chances against Manchester City, and it just never seems to work out. And, like, sometimes not even close either. I mean, I'm thinking about the Bayern matchup, Madrid matchup. I mean, these teams just struggle to score and create chances, and City are just so dominant. I mean, look, I know Inter's good. But yeah, no, it's like, it's so annoying that we have a city game to talk about for this showdown. I mean, first of all, because they're just so hard to predict, you know, it's so tough to play players against them. And then, you know, for the GPP, you end up with more duplicate lineups than any other showdown. I mean, all these city showdowns this year, you make clean sheet lineups, like 1-0, 2-0 lineups. I mean, you're duping with so many people and like every combination too. So we got that. Not only is it hard to predict, but then when you do predict it for that route, you're probably going to chop with a bunch of people. So, I mean, we'll get into tournaments later, but yeah, I don't know. It's an annoying slate. I don't know. I kind of hope you're right though, about sort of the odds disrespecting Inter. I hope you're right, because I think I'm going to play tournaments that way just because I think it makes sense.
But yeah, there's going to be a few ways to play tournaments, and I think we'll talk a little bit more later, but it's just the massive dupe machine. There's so many players that are going to be owned in combination with each other. Like, if you play Kevin De Bruyne and Haaland, like 70% of the field is going to start with those two players. Okay, now you have to beat the rest of the field on a 4v4. Now you play Ederson. I mean, these 1-0 lineups are good, but I've done some Excel studies on these things, and when it's pretty clear targets about who to target for these 1-0 lineups, those three guys get owned a ton in combination. It might not even be like a sneaky thing. Sure, it has that sort of upside when a specific game script happens, but so many people are playing along those lines. So finding smart ways to be a little bit different. I don't know. I'm a sicko, Ryan. I can't handle chopping with seven people. Like, I would rather just make a pivot. Like, there's a great player in the lobby, Fear My Turtle, and he kind of got screwed in a GPP a month ago because he made a 1v1 just so he left 1,500 salary on the table. A seven lineup train took down the GPP, but I thought his lineup is better, and you have to feel happy with your equity. And, of course, tilted when you finish seventh place for peanuts in these prize structures. But that's kind of my inclination to play these.
Yeah. No, sorry, Turtle got so unlucky. I think that was an Inter showdown. He had Mkhitaryan. He lost by like less than a point only because Mkhitaryan got subbed at half. Yeah. But yeah, no, I'm with you. I'm too much of a sicko to try to make all these City clean sheet lineups. Like you were saying, imagine how many lineups are going to have Haaland, KDB, Ederson, and a City defender. I mean, just so many lineups that will start with those four. I mean, it's very difficult to get different.
Yeah, and I mean, it's just like, what's the equity of that? It's 20K up top. You're going to chop 10 times. Does that happen enough? And you're flipping all these ridiculous 2v2s. We'll see. But we can dig into it. I do want to talk about some of the lineup news. We have some questionables on Inter, and they've rotated a little bit lately in league play, but we are basically expecting Inter's best 11 to be available. DeMarco has been a little bit fatigued. He's been nursing some knocks, but we're going to expect him to start and do his usual 65 minutes. And then Henrik Mkhitaryan, he picked up a knock as well, but I also think he'll start. He's another guy who gets subbed off at 65 minutes, but he's also the min price. The small bit of news that's worth considering is that it looks like Kyle Walker has had some negative injury developments. So I opened up the blurb, and Pep said that it wasn't great. They want to be very, very careful with him, but there's a chance that Kyle Walker doesn't start. And then we would expect someone like Nathan Ake. Does the absence of Kyle Walker, I mean, maybe that helps DeMarco in a GPP lineup, Brian, does that really move the needle at all for you? Or is it basically that he's going to blast off?
Yeah, it'd be a bump to DeMarco. You're right. At least a small bump to DeMarco. Like, you know, maybe he gets an extra cross or two from open play. I don't know, you know, stuff like that. Kyle Walker is a tough, tough matchup for anyone on the left side. Seems like he'll play, but I guess, you know, you never know with Pep, but he's notorious for sort of sandbagging with injury news in the media.
Yeah.
Mkhitaryan seems like he's going to go to only 3,000. I don't know. Yeah, I think the lineups we have are – probably what you're going to see.
Yeah, I don't think there's going to be too many surprises. We'll try to figure out inter-sub patterns. I mean, Manchester City barely substitute either, so it feels like I'm pretty confident I'll get 90 or 80 minutes from just about anyone, unless something weird happens like yellow cards. All right, Ryan, your favorite game. We're going to talk about showdown cash games. So,
okay.
No, Ryan doesn't play too much showdown cash.
I've never played showdown cash, but this slate, it seems pretty simple to break down, but
yeah, I do too. So maybe I'll try to give my breakdown of how I felt. I wrote an article on the site, so you can take a look at that. I think there's some 2v2s that you're going to want to look at. And that's usually what decides these things. But I think Kevin De Bruyne is going to be a pretty obvious captain choice. He'll take at least a partial row on set pieces. He just has a killer floor. He's been crushing it lately. And I just don't think there's enough to be gained from fading Erling Haaland at 11,000. He's minus 190 to score. And when you face these situations in showdown, oh, Haaland's goal dependent, it's not a classic slate. We don't have like 8 spots to deal with. We only have 6 spots. And when you fade Haaland, you have to ask, what other salary am I getting? And I don't think I'm going to want to play any of these Inter Milan set piece takers. And I'm not sure that, you know, getting to play Ilkay Gundogan and Rodri over like a punt and something else is going to be like something that's going to make up for those points. Haaland's also been flooring lately pretty well. He has one game with a floor below 7 in his last 6 starts, but he's been doing pretty well. 8.5-point floor in the FA Cup final. So I think you just pencil those two in, and then you're going to want to start looking at the mid-range. But maybe, Ryan, we can pause there. Do you see any reason in a cash game format to not play KDB in the captain and not just slot in Haaland in the flex spot?
Yeah, I wish I could disagree, but definitely not with KDB in the captain. That's just, you can't do anything else. It's just out of the question. Yeah, for everything that you said, his floor is just so much higher than everybody else's, and it's so safe too. Haaland, yeah, probably just gonna play him too. Do I see any reason not to? Well, yeah, the reason not to would be, let's say, if you wanted to play Grealish and Ederson. Maybe. I don't think you can fit all those guys. I'm not saying you would want to do that, but maybe some people would think that. Another reason would be, I guess, if you want to spend up for Çalhanoğlu, but you mentioned that seems tough too in this matchup. So yeah, you know, I would captain KDB and then I would play Haaland.
Yeah, so if we're just making that start, look, you can fade Haaland and try to pencil in one of these mid-range guys that we'll talk about, but I'm just not sure that's the best approach. When I've been studying these showdown contests, the best players are usually playing goal scorers like Haaland in these types of spots. I think you should just mimic that sort of behavior in absence of better information. If you have an edge on something, then go for it. But yeah, let's talk about some of these mid-range options. Ryan, you mentioned unless you wanted to play Ederson and Jack Grealish, well, I found my dummy lineup does have those two in it, but there are some interesting options in the mid-range. Well, you have to punt twice, so we'll have to talk.
Yeah, I was looking at that lineup. I thought you might throw that lineup at me. I think that's acceptable.
Oh, acceptable. All right, good. I have a yeah. to start the day. That's good. It can only go up from here. So let's talk. Yeah. Let's talk about the mid-range. So we have Jack Grealish at 8,400. Let me pull up the Manchester City stuff on the cheat sheet. Grealish had a pretty bad matchup in the FA Cup, but Ryan, do you think that was kind of more signal or noise just because he had a matchup against Aaron Wan-Bissaka, who's been pocketing wingers all season in the Premier League?
Yeah, I saw you put that in your article, and that was nice because, yeah, I think that's exactly why. That had a lot to do with it, I should say. I mean, it's a very tough spot, Grealish against Wan-Bissaka. I mean, it's basically the toughest matchup Grealish is going to have to put up floor points. It's tougher to draw fouls against him. It's tougher to get shots off. It's tougher to get crosses off. I mean, just everything. So, yeah, I agree with that. Grealish seems like a better option here. I assume so. You're talking about putting in Grealish and Ederson. And then that leaves you with what, 3,32, 3,100 per spot. So, I mean, sort of skipping around here, but put in Mkhitaryan, obviously. And then what, only Acerbi? Are those the two punts you're talking about?
Yeah, you can play that. Those are kind of the most
Okay, you
expensive
can
viable
play that,
options.
right? So, I guess you want to debate the merits of Ederson, but I don't know. I was looking at that lineup you have, and if you swap in Gundogan for Grealish, I mean, it leaves you a much better option at 4,600, either Onana or Rodri. I don't know. At least that 2v2 is debatable, in my opinion.
That is a very compelling 2v2. Can you get Rodri if you swap off?
Exactly, right. I mean,
If it's like a
it's
glove?
the same salary. Gundogan and Rodri cost the same as Grealish and Acerbi. So, I mean, you
Well,
kind of,
I
it seems
famously
like it.
cannot. Yeah, okay, Rodri. I thought Rodri was 4,800. Yeah, so
Seems
that
like a
does
better
work out.
2v2 to me. But also, like, to me, it's worth debating Rodri or Onana. I'd be interested to. That's an interesting decision to me. I wonder what like the sharp players would do there. Sorry, go ahead. No, go ahead.
It's tough to predict what the sharp players do with opposing goalkeeper. I find that I'm a little bit more willing to do it than other players, and I'm just more willing to embrace the variance. But I think his median projection is Onana's median projection has to be quite good in this matchup. You have to expect that City will take some shots from distance, but I mean, and they'll have 60% possession. I want to interrupt myself. Do City really take inefficient shots that often? That's not something I've really looked into, but like I remember Luis Pacheco, he was once saying how he'd been playing the opposing goalkeeper against Manchester City all season, and he'd been getting wrecked because they had been so efficient in front of goals. Do you really think that City are going to be the type of team to take enough shots from distance, like a Real Madrid, that would make it worth playing Onana? Or are they going to be maybe probe a little bit more and take higher, expected goal chances?
Well, I played Courtois against City in the last round and he had like six saves in the first half, I remember. I mean, KDB is going to rip long shots. Rodri is going to rip a couple. They might make them. Gundogan would. I don't know. No, that does happen with City sometimes. It seems like it happened more in the past, but no, I'm not really thinking about it too much. Like, I just think about. City are gonna still get a lot of shots. Maybe
Yeah.
if but it, you just gotta hope Onana saves the really good opportunities they have, I guess.
Yeah, there's always a little bit of noise, but when there's high shot volume, there's always a chance for high save volume. And you kind of have to like Onana as a floor play when he's so cheap at 4,400. So I think one player I was interested in hearing your thoughts on was talking about Ilkay Gundogan. So he's been in really good goal scoring form lately. He got a brace in the FA Cup final, and he's just been doing quite well lately. And he was pretty popular in cash as well in that FA Cup final. I find his range of outcomes to be pretty undesirable in comparison to Jack Grealish because you're looking at a more bimodal distribution. What I mean by this is he's going to score 5 points quite often and he's going to score like 13 points quite often. There's going to be a bit of a gap. Like he's not going to hit the 7 point median projection that often. Someone like Jack Grealish, I feel like he's going to be a little bit more tightly projecting his range of outcomes. He's going to have a lot of 8 to 10 point performances. It just feels like it might be a little bit sick to count on a goal from Ilkay Gundogan, because that's basically what you're counting on. I don't really think he has that fantastic a floor in this matchup. Maybe you disagree, but what do you perceive as Ilkay Gundogan's range of outcomes looking like, Ryan?
I think you broke it down perfectly. Yeah, that's exactly how I feel about it. Bimodal, was that the word?
Bimodal, yeah.
Yeah, Grealish has a nice, safe, high floor, and you're right, Gundogan really doesn't. Would that be worth playing Acerbi over Rodri or Onana? Maybe. Yeah, maybe. But also, I just looked at, if you don't want to do that, you can captain Grealish and it leaves you 4,600.
Yeah, I've seen some good players do this. If they're not afraid to captain Grealish instead of Kevin De Bruyne, and that does help you improve the punt options. That seems pretty enticing.
It does seem pretty enticing. So, like, you think about it, you know, if Grealish scores 10 points and KDB scores 20 points, you're down by 5. Can you make that up with Rodri or Onana over a Serbi? Yeah, maybe, but maybe not. But also, you know, maybe the gap isn't 10 points between KDB and Grealish. I don't know. That's the stuff you got away, I guess. I think it's okay if you feel pretty good about Grealish. I think it's okay. So, yeah, maybe KDB lock captain. Maybe I'll take that back. If you know, if Grealish is a really good play, that means he's a fine captain as well.
Yeah, and it would just be because you do think that you get that 5 points extra juice out of Rodri over someone like Acerbi. But Acerbi, I feel like, has a pretty okay floor for someone who's 3,200. I feel like he's a little bit cheap, so I'm going to pull up his game log just for a moment. I mean, we're breaking down showdowns, so these are the things you have to do. You kind of have to get a bit in the weeds. But one thing I noticed in his game log that I like, he gets some shots. I think he's kind of a set-piece target in that end. He doesn't commit too many fouls, which a lot of these punt center backs often are committing fouls, and you're just totally like, if one of these punt center backs gets a yellow card, it's absolutely over for you. You can't do that, and it looks like he doesn't profile as someone who gets a lot of yellow cards. I don't know. It seems acceptable to me. These inter center backs get forward more often than usual, and that's why I don't want to pay for Rodri. Like, if Rodri gets 5 points and a Serbi gets 3 points, I'm going to be mad I didn't play a Serbi, because I feel like.
Yeah, in that case, I would be too. But I would say, so all the stuff you said about Acerbi and Inter center backs, they haven't played City yet. Do they get forward against City? You know what? He doesn't commit a lot of fouls. He hasn't marked Haaland yet. I would be sort of worried about those things. I mean, I think a yellow, if he's going to be the main guy, I think, with Haaland too. I mean, yeah. So, I mean, I think a yellow card is absolutely on the table. But no, I hear you. If he was going to score, you know, also on the table might be interceptions and might be fouls drawn. He can draw some fouls against Haaland for sure. So, you know, if he's going to get 3 points and Rodri's going to get 5, then yeah, I agree with you. But, you know, yeah.
Good luck.
He doesn't have 20 point upside like Onana.
Yes, and Onana can really, really bail you out at 4,400. That's kind of that's the thing I don't want to give up. I really don't want to play a Rodri in this type of situation at 4,600. I feel like he just scores 3 or 4 points so often, and that's just not a big enough advantage from what I'm thinking that a Serbi can do. But, man, Onana can just blow a Serbi out of the water.
It wasn't that long ago when you were, like, telling me about Rodri's double-digit floor or something in some showdown video, like, a few months ago. Maybe that was Adam. I don't know. But no, I agree.
No, I remember pounding the table for this. I was just looking at his game logs. And for Rodri, you're hoping that you can project a shot. Maybe it gets on target and you're really happy. He's not crossing at all. Maybe he creates a chance. And then you're hoping that he doesn't commit too many fouls. I mean, Rodri's a guy who can get into trouble with committing fouls quite frequently. So that hurts his projection a little bit. So I don't know. You get one shot, one chance created. Let's say it's on target. You're looking at 3 points. And then you get a couple of defensive accruals. It's just tough for me to see the route past 6 points for Rodri unless he just starts shooting like a lot from distance. And that just doesn't feel like a very, you know, within one standard deviation of the median type of outcome.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, he does offer a little bit of upside. I mean, we see him score a range of goals. He's good at headers on corner kicks too, not just long shots. But I mean, I hear you.
It's tough, I think, is the main point. There's merits to both sides of these constructions. Tough.
Rodri's going to finish with, like you said, he's going to score one or two points sometimes as well.
Yeah, and he'll be like a popular tournament option as well, I think, just thinking from that point of view. But these are the types of decisions you have to make. I think, Ryan, if we can just recap cash, I think the dominant construction is going to be someone like Kevin De Bruyne. And then you pair him with Haaland just because of his high goal scoring odds. We're not really going to look at the Inter set piece takers because they split set pieces, and DeMarco's not going to be on the field the entire time. Hakan might just get played out of this game. He might not have any open play value, and he might not get enough set pieces. So they feel rich and kind of choose, you know, two of Gundogan, Ederson, Grealish, and then, you know, base that off of the punts. You're looking at punt decisions of like an Acerbi or a Mkhitaryan versus an Onana or Rodri. And weighing that is going to be the difference between being a long-term winner and a long-term slight loser. Go down cash contest. So have fun.
a question from Ozzy. Dumfries is a good defender too. Question mark. Yeah, you know, I assume talking about Grealish up against Dumfries. We were talking about up against Wan-Bissaka. No, you know, I wish I could give a more informed opinion on that. I think he's a pretty good defender, not Wan-Bissaka, but not nearly, you know, it's not going to, I don't think it's, I wouldn't expect a matchup like against Real Madrid when, I mean, just Carvajal has nothing to offer for Grealish. And it's just an amazing matchup that City are going to just try to target all game. I don't think it's that type of matchup. I think Dumfries is capable, but you know, to be honest, I haven't watched Inter really outside the Champions League, so I'm not really sure, but something to think about.
Yeah, I think one weird thing I noticed in the semifinal when Rafael Leao in the second leg came back, I know Dumfries man-marked him tactically. I was watching the above the stadium camera, and the announcers pointed it out, and it was true. Dumfries kind of was tactically flexible and was man-marking Leao. Maybe that happens.
I mean, that's marking Leao. It doesn't get much tougher than that. That's exactly something you would want to look at.
Yeah. So I don't want to play Dumfries necessarily, just given how I think the game script's going to go. He's a guy who can collect a lot of fouls. He doesn't have like the offensive upside. I remember Dumfries was fantastic in the Euro a few years ago. You could play him as a defender and he was just like marauding down the wing, but he's just not that player anymore.
Yeah. No.
His presence is interesting, but not just playing him.
No, definitely don't want to play him, but the first thing I thought of was Ozzy's question. Like the first thing I thought of, like when I'm thinking, do I want to play Grealish or Gundogan? I was weighing the matchup with Dumfries.
Yep. I mean, so that you might have to nick down Grealish's projection a little bit too, if they try to target Grealish directly like that. But I mean, if it's more generic setup, then I feel a bit more okay. But it's something in the range of outcomes and it's worth considering, especially if you don't want to play Grealish in a tournament. You just assume that Dumfries pockets him. Okay, you know, that's a route that you can start going down. Do we have any other thoughts on cash? It's just good luck on these final 2v2s, I think. But I think we have the construction nailed down for the people. Yeah. All right. Well, good luck. It's showed on cash, so you're kind of like flipping slightly.
I mean, sure. If someone's insistent on playing Çalhanoğlu or DeMarco, I think it's pretty clearly Çalhanoğlu. I just want to say that for cash.
Oh, that's –
I thought maybe that would get a little surprise from you.
Yeah, I don't necessarily agree. Is
okay.
The reason nice. The minutes –
Well, that's part of it, but also I would expect him to take the majority of set pieces. And I think people just go in thinking split. It's backed up by the recent logs. I mean, if you look at that, I'm looking at it right now. DeMarco's taken one set piece. I mean, what? In six of his last eight games, only one. And I just having watched the last few Champions League matches for Inter, Çalhanoğlu is running over to the left side plenty. And then it's not just that. Just from what he's one of the best corner kick takers I've seen, Çalhanoğlu, mm-hmm. just putting in amazing balls. And Inter scored off at least one of them. I mean, Dzeko scored off that one. They had another header, I remember, off the crossbar, maybe a couple more. Not that DeMarco's bad, but I mean, that if I was to play an Inter guy for set pieces or for a floor, I favor Çalhanoğlu just based off what I've seen and those recent numbers. And then the minutes. Yeah.
He does play
I mean, maybe I'm looking at too much, but look, yeah, you have it up right now. One mm-hmm. set piece for DeMarco, only more than two, one time in a match where they had 12. There's no way they're going to get 12 in this match. So, I mean,
That's a good inside baseball take right there. I think I would change my mind. I don't want to play DeMarco anymore, and I'm not sure I don't want to play either of these guys in cash, but that sounds important. One thing that I noticed, and this is maybe getting a little bit too in the weeds, delving on the GigaBrain, Inter had a penalty, and it was VAR disallowed, but Hakan had the ball. It wasn't Lautaro. And this, maybe you can kind of throw this into the Hakan pile. He's taken one penalty this season, and he took it back in November. And Lautaro was on the field. The game was a rout against like Sausulo or something. But that's one thing where if you have like a 10% shot that he takes a penalty if he gets it. So you can kind of keep that little nugget in the back of your pocket.
That's very interesting.
It does seem like the set pieces are, it's a little bit too GigaBrain. Don't bring this into your cash mentality. That shouldn't affect like the median outcome that much. But like I feel like he maybe has some outs thinking about tournaments now. You've kind of made me want to play Hakan a bit more than DeMarco.
It's a good transition to tournaments. I brought that up because I brought that up for tournaments because on, you know, some lineups where I'm going to play an Inter set piece guy, I'm going to choose Çalhanoğlu over DeMarco. Yeah, I just mm-hmm. think it makes sense for all those reasons I said, for the minutes, like you said, and especially if Kyle Walker starts, like it's just going to be really hard for DeMarco to get there, assuming he gets subbed off, which you have to think he would.
Yeah, DeMarco will probably get subbed off at the 60th minute mark. It doesn't seem like he's fit at all for 90 minutes. And this thing can go into extra time as well. And extra time does affect my thinking in these knockout matches, because if I can have a guy who goes like 65 minutes and if the game goes 120, you're basically playing a guy who's doing 45. And we would laugh at playing, you know, even mid-price Pedro Neto in cash going 45 minutes. So that has to play some part of the calculus as well.
And, you know, maybe some of these corner numbers are because of the minutes, you know, DeMarco gets subbed off and then he's not there to split him with Çalhanoğlu anymore. But you know what? They're likely to have more corners in the second half chasing the game anyways than they will in the first half, at least in my opinion.
That does make sense. And that's what Ozzy's saying. They split corners before DeMarco got subbed off, but you do really.
So yeah, maybe they'll split. Maybe they'll split the two that they get in the first half. And then, you know, after that,
then Hakan takes four. Or something that's pretty interesting. So
we're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Just thinking from a tournament point of view, I mean, one move that you can make, you can take this dominant construction we talked about in cash. You can just say, well, instead of Grealish, I'm going to play Hakan. And oh, there we go. Now I have this. You don't play Ederson in that lineup just because you want outs to a goal. Do you think something like that's enough, or do you want to get a little bit more off the board in that type of game script? When you're playing someone, let's just say you're playing a tournament lineup and you have KDB and Haaland, and then you play a Çalhanoğlu. How would you want to approach the rest of your, I don't want to ask like a question almost, but like what type of things do you consider when you're kind of completing that lineup? Do you just want to play the best plays after that? Is Hakan going to be low owned enough, or are you going to try to look for a little extra something there?
Yeah, it's a tough question. Well, I want to think of the scenarios that construction will be optimal. Like, is Hakan going to be in the winner just based on floor? Maybe he could be, like, in a 1-2-0 game. I don't know. That's a construction, but then you would still want to have Ederson. Is that going to be super chalky though? Like those four, can you fit that? KDB, Allen, Çalhanoğlu, Ederson.
Well, then you're playing a Serbian Mkhitaryan. There's only one lineup with that, so it's going to be
right. Okay,
4,500-person field.
Unless you captain Ederson. Okay, yeah. So I would never play that lineup. That with Mkhitaryan, and then yeah, you can only make that one lineup. I see that. Okay. Unless of course Aki and Laporte start, or then that lineup would be duped. Like, oh no, Ruben Diaz is there. You can make that lineup. Sorry, I didn't.
There's not many combinations though at the table.
Sorry, yeah, I'm going off on like a weird tangent. Yeah, I don't know, Jack. I would pair Çalhanoğlu with like Onana or Bastoni then as one of the next pieces, I think.
Yeah. I know Ozzy's been saying something in the chat that Bastoni seems to cross the ball quite a lot for a center back. I completely agree. Bastoni is very happy to get forward and attack. He's a more attacking-minded center back. And if you're looking to get a little bit different in your punt spots, he costs a little bit more than the min price, and he's below Rodri. But he does offer some type of, you know, good scoring outcomes, especially if Inter have to chase the game in the last 25 minutes. I could see Bastoni getting up to a 6-point floor, and he might be the highest scoring floor point in this under 5K region. And you're thinking about that. That sounds pretty good to me. So I do like a Bastoni.
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, Bastoni is, I mean, he's got to be, he's one of the best attacking center backs in the world. I mean, yeah. Mentioned in chat, he loves to cross. He's also big and athletic. He's like 6'4". He's good in the air. Yeah. I'm a big Bastoni fan, especially in games where the rest of his team doesn't have a high floor. So it doesn't take as much to get there or be optimal in a lot of times for a cheaper salary. I like that. Again, like, I don't know, it's hard to specifically answer your question, but like, I'll be looking to get different, I guess is the answer. Yeah. I'll be looking to avoid dupes. I mean, how are you thinking about doing that?
The way I want to avoid dupes in this tournament, I'll have 6 tickets in it. My main approach is just going to be leaving a lot of salary on the table. I think this is a move that people are still somewhat reluctant to do. Mm-hmm. And there are opportunities to leave a lot of salary on the table because there's a big gap in this 7K to 5K region. If you look at the players priced in this range, it's just not particularly inspiring. There's one player I like in that range, and he's more of a contrarian tournament option. But below Gundogan, you have Dzeko, who's just like a total tournament dart. It's goal or bust at like +350 goal scoring odds. So, I mean, that's an option. We can talk about constructions like that. You have Dumfries, who I don't want to play. I don't want to play John Stones. Rodri kind of has a thin range of outcomes. And then you have like Walker, and then you have like these very low range guys. But this, everyone below 7K and above 4,500, I consider this gross outside of Nico Barea. And Ryan, every time I was making these lineups and I unplug Haaland and I put in some player from Inter, I was just being funneled into playing a ton of Nico Barea. So what do you think about lineups where you do a KDB captain, which is the best captain play, and you can play Grealish, and then you can play someone like a goal scorer on Inter. You can play Hakan, and then you can throw in a Nico Barea and then finish the rest of your lineup. Do you see that? Do you see Nico Barea getting steamed because he's the only viable candidate in that gap range? Or do you still think that that'll be a pretty good construction? Because that's one thing that I'm looking at that I quite like.
That's an interesting question. Yeah. Do I see him getting steamed? Because he's the only one there. I mean, maybe slightly, but
it can't be too much, right?
Like, it can't be too much because people are going to just look at it and think, oh, I don't want to pay 6,200.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, a few people just for what you said. No, I like that call though. You know, Barella's a guy, you know, he's as likely to score as anyone. I mean, I know that's not the case, but in a spot against City where there's going to be limited chances, yeah, that's the way I look at it, at least if I'm building a tournament lineup. Barella can score goals in this spot. He can come up with assists. Yeah, I like that.
I was thinking, too, one remark you said about, like, if Hakan or just any player can just get there on floor alone. And how many players really have an outstanding floor for Manchester City? It's not many, actually, right? Haaland doesn't have
No.
I mean, De Bruyne has a great floor, but a lot of these players can just score five or less, and I'm shrugging my shoulders. I'm not particularly surprised. Maybe Grealish is like a second tier option.
Yeah.
No one else necessarily has any floor associated to them. And for that reason, I'm willing to also in tournaments, just if I put Kevin De Bruyne captain and I play a Haaland, I'm willing to just avoid the rest of the Manchester City middle priced options. And this is one way where I can hopefully avoid a lot of like combinatorial ownership, something, you know, players owned highly in combination with each other.
I'm with you on that. And I think it's possible. It's possible for Çalhanoğlu to score like 10 floor points. I know, you know, it's not a great spot, but it's totally possible. And I like making, like, that is because I still like to make, I'm not going to have a ton of them, but I'm still going to make a few of my favorite City clean sheet lineups, like 1-0, 2-0 build, maybe that I think aren't going to be duped a crazy amount of times. And sometimes in these spots against City, yeah, it's to play the expensive set piece taker against them. People don't like to do that. I feel like they'd rather have a Grealish or a Haaland or Gundogan or, you know, whoever. So yeah, I think, I don't know. I guess I think like Çalhanoğlu, I don't think he'll be that popular. And
no.
Maybe a good way of saying it is maybe he gets there on floor more often than his ownership, dictates that he will.
This is what I'm wondering. And there's some noise in the chat. Hakan doesn't offer much taking set pieces, and we're kind of talking about like 80th percentile outcomes here. We're talking that most of the City players don't really achieve a floor outside of two obvious targets. And I mean, how often does that happen? It's really tough to estimate, but I can see it happening. And you can see Hakan getting up to 10 points chasing the game. I mean, he could get there on floor alone. You could make robust lineups where he can win if he gets up to a floor, and then you allow you don't play him with Ederson, for example. So you allow him to benefit from an assist and a goal as well.
Yeah. Like, I think this guy is right. He doesn't offer much of a floor. You know, that's why, like, he's not, like, a great player. We're not excited to play him, but it's possible. And if he's not going to be that popular. I mean, like, he drew five fouls against fouls against AC Milan last time. You know, I'm not saying – he's just going to be out there for 90 minutes. He's got a wicked shot on him. He's great at putting corners in. I don't think he's a good play. If I was playing just against myself or trying to make an optimal lineup, then I'm gonna leave Hakan out. But he could get there.
Yeah, I mean, we are talking about playing bad plays who 10% of the time are the guy you need. this is how
right.
Showdown works. We have to talk about how likely we have to estimate these tail outcomes somewhat accurately. And it's tough. I mean, it's a gross play. It's a bad play. We're doing our favorite thing talking about the bad plays, but I mean, this is kind of what we're left with. I do like that option. Ryan, you were talking about playing a clean sheet, a 1-0 lineup. I like those. You know, you can still do Kevin De Bruyne, Haaland, and Ederson, and you can just avoid this mid-range entirely and you can just leave a ton of salary on the table. I think that'll be an acceptable way to construct those.
Yeah, like as well. Oh, so sorry. Maybe you just said this, but like if you have a KDB captain lineup that also has Grealish, you could just make it Grealish captain instead of KDB. Yeah. Is that what you said?
No, that's not what I necessarily.
But that, said. Then you end up leaving like a bunch of salary. People don't like one or two people do that, but not many.
No, I mean that's a great tactic. If it's a good line, if you have a big portfolio and you like Jack Grealish, you can make a bunch more lineups just by swapping those two. And whatever you lose in projection, you're going to gain in relative value and you know ownership.
Yeah, you know, I'm just thinking about other outcomes. Like I know Hakan normally doesn't have a floor, and these opponents of City normally don't have a floor. But think about some of the stuff we've seen recently, like guys on Bournemouth putting up 15 floors against Man City, the Leicester a couple games ago. And I mean, just imagine them having a 1-0 lead trying to hold on to the Champions League. I mean, it's going to be some nervy stuff. I mean, that I don't know, like there's just a lot of different ways this can go, and you don't want to, like, if you're playing tournaments especially, you don't want to be too narrow-minded.
No, I agree, and I don't think it's too giga-brain to think that Manchester City have, like, you know, 57% possession. They scored early, and, you know, they're kind of just letting Inter have a little bit more of the ball. Manchester City have played this way before in huge matchups. Like, they lost time of possession battle against Bayern. They dominated that game, but they conceded a lot of possession to Bayern. These aren't outrageous outcomes, and I think I'm just echoing your sentiments. Some of these guys flooring a little bit more, Manchester City not pushing in the last 30 minutes. If you assume these types of things happen, I think you can build some pretty unique lineups that aren't terrible, that aren't, you know, finishing in last place a ton of the time. That's kind of the name of the game.
Jack, how much Bernardo Silva are you going to play?
Oh my God. So I can't stand Bernardo Silva, but I think I will dabble some in him because there's some fun lineups that you can play if Manchester City dominate, but Haaland doesn't score. This can totally happen, especially if Manchester City score two goals early. Then they're just not going to feel forced to play to Haaland. He'll just draw a couple of fouls from Acerbi because he's backing into him. But, yeah, I like unplugging Haaland, and then you can play, like, Bernardo, Gundogan. You can just play the whole squad of Manchester City then and just hope the entire offense goes through them and Inter does nothing. I think that's a kind of reasonable approach. I think it's not too much because you don't have Haaland. I mean, Haaland's going to be like 60 to 70%. So if you don't play him, you can kind of do whatever you want. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I just, you know, we all, everybody feels the same way about Silva for the most part. We don't like to play him. And then you see what happens sometimes. He's the lowest owned City guy and breaks the slate. Second leg against Madrid. We saw a brace from him. I'm just looking at his game log. First matchup against Barcelona, he had a goal and an assist. I mean, it's just, I don't know. I bring it up because he's so tilting.
I think someone in the Discord, Mohendi, he was talking about trauma-based lineup building, and
that's a great word for it.
I mean, he's going to be he's a fine play. He's going to be on the field for most of the game for Manchester City. He's going to be like 16%.
Objectively, you remember that game? I see. Here it is. The game against West Ham, he had like 10 crosses in the first half. What is going on? He finished with 11 crosses. Yeah, anyways.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't want to play him.
I don't want to play him either. I play like 20 lineups, and I don't want to have like two Bernardo Silva lineups. I feel like that's a situation where maybe like if Bernardo was a little bit underpriced but still was going to get overlooked, then I'd make like half my lineups with him. But I'd rather just explore my other ideas fully and not just play Bernardo Silva because I'm going to be tilted if he scores. I mean, you know, we're going to be on a 2-month break after this, but there's always going to be another soccer DFS slate. So I'll comfortably fade him, I think, especially at 7,800. I mean, that's expensive. Like, it's a pay up to be contrarian spot at that point. He's not even a bargain. So I think that all plays into me being more reluctant to play him. Maybe we can start. We've been 45 minutes. Maybe we can start galbraining a little bit. We've talked about a lot of ideas, and I think this is kind of how you want to template your thinking. Like, we spent a lot of time talking about Hakan, but you can think about Lautaro as well for 9,200, right? Does he score at all? That feels too expensive to me. I'd rather play someone like an Edin Dzeko. But Ryan, are you going to be building any lineups with our good friend Romelu Lukaku at 8,800? Almost guaranteed to sub on at the 65th minute. And if you have a lineup where you think that Manchester City are winning, you can just pluck him in there. You know, would you rather have 1% Romelu Lukaku for 30 minutes or, 15% Lautaro for 65 for 90 minutes?
Yeah, you know, I don't think I've ever played a sub against Manchester City. So, you know, it's just it's hard, but I want to. Like, and it's for the scenario that you said, you know, City winning and, you know, Lukaku coming on to score the equalizer or to pull one back. Yeah, I've thought about it. And just because, you know, I don't want to talk, you know, I didn't want to talk about subs on this show, playing subs on this show. But like, I'm just drawn to it even more because it's a City showdown. Everything we mentioned with the dupes and with just, it's already so hard to predict and it's already sort of like a lottery. So yeah, you know, I would want to play subs, but it's extra hard for this slate because for City, you have Mahrez, Foden, Alvarez. I mean, maybe you have a take of who's getting subbed on from those guys, but I mean, I don't think anyone could really have a take because Pep's just so unpredictable. You know,
I don't think you can play any subs that are wearing a Manchester City shirt. You're basically just saying, do I think that Romelu Lukaku gets a penalty in the last 30 minutes and somehow it ties the game up? I think that's the only sub goal viable option.
So it's just really hard to play subs here, which is annoying because in general, with such big money for first, they're such a good play. I mean, I know we've talked about it plenty, but so I don't know. What do you?
I think I'll throw in a Lukaku sub. I'm a sicko. I mean, it would be sick if it worked. I have to do it at least once.
Yeah. I will too, obviously. I'm just not going to recommend it for other people.
Yeah.
You know, you got to think like 8,800 is annoying too. And like, if he scores a goal, like he's going to have, might finish with 12, 13 points in this spot. Now that could definitely be enough. Like, yeah, it's just so tough.
Well, I mean, if City score 3 goals, it's probably not going to be enough. I mean, there's a chance that it's not enough. You're kind of, it has to be a bit of a 1-0.
Or maybe he outscores, you know, maybe no one else on Inter has like above six points or something, and it's just a big enough difference.
So he's the only Inter player that you
maybe throw in. Something like that, or like
yeah.
I don't know, man. It's tough. Like you said, trying to galaxy brain stuff. It's because this showdown sucks. Like, just if this wasn't the Champions League final, like I hate this showdown. I hate City showdowns and Inter too. Like, just Inter on their own are so tough. For their set piece guys, for their forwards with no floor, like, I don't know, man. It's just like the number one thing, at least for me, is going to be just trying to get unique and trying a higher percentage of my lineups will be worried about dupes than usual.
It's just gross. There's not much fun that you can have. Like, I will throw in a few Onana captains, but I mean, that's just me thinking that Onana captain is going to be like 2% and he should be 6%. It's not a particularly enjoyable thing to do. It's just something I robotically take part in. And hopefully I can find the right Inter goal score. I don't know. Maybe a couple points we can touch on quick before we go. Lautaro at 9,200 just seems too rich. I'd rather take a shot on Edin Dzeko, even if he's going to be subbed early. Do you have a take there?
No, not really. I mean, what's their ownership going to be?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what Lautaro. They're probably both going to be cheap, low owned.
Yeah, I don't know if I necessarily agree with you there.
Oh, you don't? What do you think?
No, just that I'd rather play. You said you'd rather play Dzeko. I'm not sure that I agree with that, but I get the reasoning. No,
just because of the salary thing.
Yeah, because of his salary for sure.
But maybe the field thinks that. I mean, Lautaro is definitely pay up to be contrarian. He probably is the penalty taker. I know I sowed some seeds of discontent, but I mean, if there's a penalty in 20% of games,
also if he scores a goal, there's a good chance he's finishing with 20 points. So, I mean, it's, yeah, I don't know. Look, he's most likely to score for Inter. So I'll play some Lautaro.
Yeah, why not sprinkle it in? A lot of these things are easier to do once you fade Haaland as well.
Right. So that's the other thing. I guess we sort of skipped that. I mean, yeah, this is with fading Haaland.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost it's boring to talk about fading Haaland, right? Because it's like he's, you know, 55 to 60% of the time he's going to score a goal, and the field's going to play him, and he's going to be chalk, and you're probably screwed if he scores a goal. And it's very annoying, but that's just how it is. I don't mind embracing that variance. I think he's going to be like 65% owned, especially given the salary dynamics on the slate. It's like, do you want to pay up for Hakan? Do you want to play up for Lautaro? It's just like you're kind of funneled into playing Haaland. So I think that's going to juice his ownership numbers a little bit more. That just makes me more inclined to fade him and, you know, just hope I don't end up on the short side of the stick. The fortunate thing about having all of these city showdowns is we can just keep on fading Haaland until we go broke.
Oh, man. Yeah, it's cost me a bunch this year. I don't know. Yeah, what else can we say about it? Like, all year, all we talk about is to fade Haaland or not. It's the same thing here.
I mean, you just have to build lineups that are good when Haaland scores if you play him, and they're good if he doesn't score if you don't play him, and just keep playing and hope you don't
Do you think people will play Onana in Haaland lineups?
I think people don't play that enough as it is. I don't concern myself with because that's negative correlation, and I feel like that type of thing is underowned. I will do it. I don't think a lot of people are going to be willing to do that, especially if you have like a Haaland captain, because he probably has to floor a little bit. He probably has to have a few more shots on target. I'm actually a bit more inclined to play Onana in those situations, maybe foolishly, but I think they have like a weird, they're negatively correlated, but they can win together in these weird set of ways. And I think that's worth embracing at the roster shift that you get.
Definitely. Yep. I agree. I'll be doing the same thing. The other, you know, we're talking galaxy brain stuff, like even like on a captain, like I think you can even play Haaland, De Bruyne. Sounds weird, but I don't know.
Oh, I've won a GPP doing this when City were set to throttle Everton. I did Pickford, and then I played five people on the, I played five City guys on the other side. It was just a total barrage, but that can win. Right. I feel like that's not the perfect setup. I think last time I won with that was like Germany, Japan. Like Germany was just chasing the entire game against like a clearly
Japan. No,
that seems
you're
a little
right.
Rich, but you can still do something like that. I think you have the salary for it. So
right, you're right. I almost don't even want to say it, but I was thinking also in. Even a lineup where Haaland scores a goal.
Oh yeah, you don't need the clean sheet to hold whatsoever. Like you just need enough floor, and you need to. I think the thesis would be like maybe Inter go up early, and then City can still win 2-1, and that lineup can. I think that lineup has a chance still if City are barraging with enough shots.
Right. the thesis is about cheap captain. Like I guess it could be anyone. I guess I'm throwing out the cheap captain for tournaments. You know, if you get the one guy that can score even 10 points, it might allow you to, you know, if KDB scores 20, Haaland scores 20, Lautaro scores 20, that sort of thing.
Yep.
You could have a winner where maybe Onana scores 8 as the captain. I don't know. It is possible. It's tough.
Yeah, it's weird and it's fringe and you shouldn't overinvest in it, but I think it is possible and you can fit more expensive guys than other people, and we know that goalkeepers can just get stupid floors fairly
like
randomly.
I'm looking for fringe stuff, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Onana can do something like that, you know, 6 to 10% of the time. I'm just making this up. I'm doing a rough estimate, but he's not going to be rostered for that type of outcome. So I think it's worth taking a crack at it. All right. I think that's going to be about it. We have, Mo Hendy's in the chat. What's up, Mo? He says, Onana Mickey versus Rodri Acerbi. Maybe we'll finish with his question, but I like Onana Mickey more than Rodri Acerbi. Maybe that's a bit more volatile, but I think it projects better.
No. Yeah. I like Onana Mickey for sure. But Wouldn't that also be Rodri or Mickey?
I have no idea.
I mean, I no, I think, yeah, Rodri is more expensive than, so yeah, I would just not even, I would play Mickey over a Serbi, I guess is what I'm saying. So yeah, it'd be Onana plus Mickey or Rodri plus Mickey.
I see. Yeah. Well, I like the Onana side either way, just because I like playing opposing goalkeepers. I can't help myself. Oh, all right. Well, let's call it. It was 55 minutes. It was a Galbrainer's delight. So thank you all for joining us. Thank you to everyone in the chat for living it up in there. Do we have anything to plug? I mean, rotowire.com/chat. If you're not in the Discord, there's always a lot of good discussion, especially if you play MLS or anything. Usually, you know, me, Mo is in there, Bear's in there. People are chatting it up. So it's a fun place to hang out if you're one of the 12 people that plays MLS DFS. So please come join us. But I don't know. I don't have anything else to say. I hope I win the GPP. So good luck getting second place. Otherwise, I hope it's a friend of the show. And yeah, we'll see you all in August, hopefully. But good luck, everyone.
Thanks, Jack. Good luck, everybody.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.